Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Just live with that. I got no choice.
Hello, everybody, except for that one person. You know who you are. It is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 10, Dr. Jealousy. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Before we get into this episode and our usual teases, we want to tell you that since next Monday, September 4th, is Labor Day, we are taking a break from our labors. We'll be bringing 2 episodes out from behind the Patreon paywall, 126, Let's Watch Grant Chow in True Blue, and 131, Let's Watch Dina Meyer in Friends.
But if you're a Patreon supporter, your usual complement of content will not be interrupted. This Thursday, August 31st, we'll be bringing Again With Them to our Patreon supporters at the $5 level and up. This might be a weird one because we are recording this on August 23rd, and as of today, they have dropped 1 episode of OMG in the month of August. We don't know what's going to happen. If we need to fill, we've got some ideas, so we will still bring you something as meaty as possible, given that there's a double strike, Tori's been hospitalized, someone's got some kind of rash from peeing in the bushes. We have no idea what's going on. All of that is maybe reason enough to kick up that pledge and find out.
Spoiler, that someone is me. For our Patreon supporters at all levels, again with this 158, dropping September 1st, is going to be Let's Watch Courtney Thorne Smith in L.A. Law. For you completists, we'll also be watching Joyce Heiser, a.k.a. Dawn, Billy's comedian crush from Melrose Season 1, and Lenny Wolpe, a.k.a. the rabbi who co-marries Donna and David, in the same episode. That is Season 4, Episode 9, Noah's Bark, whatever, on Prime Video. We'll link it in the show notes if you want to see for yourself what all else these actors have to answer for. I will drop a content warning here for hateful language related to a notorious Tourette's syndrome B-plot. And then September 8th, Patreon supporters will get, again with this 159, Let's Watch Rob Estes and Jack Wagner and Jamie Lunar, sorry about that, in Heartbreakers. That is Season 1, Episode 2 of that fine program. It's called Losing My Religion, which is hilarious, and that is on Discovery Plus. We will link that in the show notes.
Yes, all of this and more is at againwiththispodcast.com/club. And then we will be back with Melrose Place Season 7, Episode 11 on Monday, September 11th, and back on our regular schedule after that. Let's get into Dr. Jealousy, starting with our B-plot. Michael tests Jane. Michael and Jane wake up at the beach house, and I just want to note, Jane is the third Michael love interest to sleep on these sheets, or fourth, if we assume that's where he boned Taylor off screen. He schmoops at Jane so hard that she has to ask if he slept with Megan when he was in Napa, which he says he did not. Jane doesn't want any more secrets, which is why she has to tell him she got a job at Amanda's agency and brought in a big new client. And before she can say who it is, there's a knock at the door. Michael goes to get it. It is Alex. Michael immediately punches him in the face and slams the door. Jane explains why Alex is there, but Alex does not want to hang around, obviously. And a boring fight ensues between the Mancinis. Jane wants the money. He doesn't think they need the money, which, since when? Like, how long ago was the clinic debacle where he ended up with $700 or whatever it was? Like, huh? Over to the agency where Amanda is adorably looking at slides when clip 2.
Amanda, I have some bad news. And I have an assistant. Her name's Julie. She announces the visitors.
Queen.
Also announces the visitors. Like, what is she, your butler? It's a very weird way to put it. But I am happy to report, in the weirdly long time lag between season 7, episode 7 and 8, Julie's hair grew out. It looks much better. It's not goslining as hard anymore.
Yeah, that's Jane's job, alas.
Unfortunately true. Jane is there to blurt that she may have lost the Alex account, but Amanda just talked to him and he has no hard feelings about his sore jaw. Jane doesn't get why Michael's acting like a petty, jealous fool, and Amanda's basically like, are you new? But adds that if Alex had left, there would be plenty of hard feelings, which Amanda punctuates with her sunniest smile as she flounces out of the room in her adorable way. Over to the practice, where Michael recaps his morning to Peter, who has his own shit going on, which we'll get to, and could not be less interested. Michael is terrified that Jane is going to sleep with Alex again. Peter tells Michael to trust that Jane loves him, but how can Michael forget that she's been unfaithful? He can't risk his happiness on a what if, Peter says. And Michael decides that's it. He's going to test her by starving her for sex and see if she turns to Alex. And as we've said many times, I'm sure Michael is great at sex. But as far as we know, she had been single for a while before the reunion. So presumably she can take care of business on her own. Like, what?
Yeah.
But Michael says he never could have come up with this plan if not for Peter, who does not seem like he wants the credit. And the next day, Michael rushes into Peter's office with an update. He's having dinner that night with Jane and Alex, and he needs to study up on body language to prepare. He's even bought a book. And it is hilarious that in the last scene he had with Jane, he was like, you don't need a job. I'm a surgeon. When this is what he actually does all day.
Like, yeah.
Bullshit at the practice. Bothers Peter.
God. Calabro tries. He almost makes it sort of watchable, but
yeah.
Not quite. This is like a 90210 plot.
Yes.
That even they were like, this is too immature and for these characters.
And it goes on.
So let's give
and
it to
on.
Melrose. Oh, God, yeah. It really does.
So Peter mocks Michael's belief that there is any scientific validity behind these supposed body language tells in his book, but that just makes Michael list more of them until clip 3.
Michael, direct eye contact. See what it says about that. It says, get out of my office!
More of this!
Amen, truly.
Yeah. So that night, Michael asks Alex to remind him how he and Jane met, and at first they answer together like the longtime couple they aren't, but then take turns telling the story of applying for the same job at Marshall Fields. Someone did some Chicago research.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. It was acquired by Macy's in 2006. We miss her. Jane remembers Alex being competitive. Alex remembers the dress that Jane was wearing, and Michael jumps from that to the conclusion that Alex's interest in her was sexual from the start, but actually it's that she had designed it and Alex thought it was unique, like Jane. And then he scratches his nose, which is a sign of deception, according to Michael's stupid book. Michael challenges Alex about the scratch, claiming concern as a doctor, but Alex is like, we all know your issue is that I slept with Jane, who says on Michael's behalf that it is not a problem for him. Michael agrees that he can be mature, in which case Alex would like to know why Michael hit him. Michael says it's because he's a hothead, which he believes is one of the qualities Jane loves. And he prepares to leave, adding that the punch wasn't about what happened before. It was a warning that it shouldn't happen again, in which case it's a little about what happened before, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day, Michael happens to run into Jane in the steam room at her gym, which is co-ed for some reason, claiming he just joined because he wanted to get in shape for their wedding. She's not mad about his behavior at dinner at all. And even as she is kissing him and burbling about how excited she is for the wedding, he has to stop her to ask if anything about Alex turns her on. She claims nothing. I believe her. That's how I
Same.
Feel as well.
Yep.
But in that case, Michael is done tagging along on Jane's business dinners. And then he floats the idea of abstaining from sex until their wedding night. But Jane wants to fuck right now in a steam room, like,
ew.
Yeah. So but whatever.
Legionnaires for everybody.
Yeah. She locks the door, and when she walks back to Michael and drops her towel, he does not object. And then we're back at Eclipse for one of those business dinners. Alex asks Jane what she doesn't like about his new designs, but she is distracted thinking about Michael. Alex doesn't mind if she calls him, and she does at the table at a business meeting. Like, I know they're friends-ish, but still, what the hell?
Yeah, go to the bar. Come on.
Right. But Michael is whispering when he picks up because he's on his cell phone on the edge of the patio that they are also on. He is spying on them, but lies that he's at the gym again. And Jane tries to talk business after she hangs up. But as Michael strains to hear, Alex changes the subject to them. Clip 4.
These last few days, spending this time with you, it's made me realize that, well, how part of my life has been missing. Come on, Jane. Admit it. You have feelings for me, too.
Of course I do. But not the kind of feelings that you're talking about.
Well, then it shouldn't bother you if I kiss you.
You can take my word for it.
Words lie. Lips don't.
This guy is such a stiff.
Yeah.
And not in the good way, like you no. like. He's just this, like, Roxette droning blob.
Yes.
I'm so tired of the show. And the show is tired of itself, and I'm tired of that.
I agree. I think it thought it was really doing something by getting Jane back. Like, it's the old magic. We're getting the band back together. It's like, she's not enough to carry it at this point. And also, yeah, Roxette is a very funny reference for words lie. Lips don't. Lips lie. They're the ones that are saying the words. It's a bad, bad line. But anyway, they kiss.
Yeah.
On to our A-plot. Lexi corners Peter about the kidnapping while Megan and Ryan get closer. Oh, just what we needed for both
great.
Of them. Ryan is getting his paper shirtless, which, remember a time when setting up home delivery of a physical newspaper was one of the first things you would do after moving? Because I barely do. When he notices Megan boobfully walking through the courtyard, he likes what he sees. And shots of him getting ready at his place are intercut with Kyle getting ready at his. And they meet in the courtyard, goofing around with a basketball, too loudly for first thing in the morning, in my opinion.
Agree.
But when Amanda confirms that Kyle has gone, she revisits the ripped-out diary page and has a black-and-white visualization of the events it describes, and she is shook again. And at a park, there is basketballery. Kyle gets aggressive enough that Ryan decides it means Kyle wants him to leave town. Like, maybe you two fell out because one of you is extremely touchy all the time, Ryan. But Kyle finally admits he is pissed, but not at Ryan. He thinks Amanda's protecting Peter regarding something in Matt's journal. He guesses there's a part of Amanda that will always love Peter. Yeah, I think I know which part. I think you're right. Over at her fake office, Lexi is on one. Clip 5.
Honey, Caesar built Rome with a lot less than I gave you. Now get your butt on the road and land a client.
Do I get to talk here, Miss Sterling?
Talk anymore, and you'll be looking for employment in the wonderful world of food service.
Okay, first of all.
I just don't care.
She's with the constant references to ancient Rome. Kyle's playing chess. What is happening here? Like, these are hard resets on the characters we know that make no sense for either of them.
No.
But that is the first of three Lexi clips that end with her speeches, with her going, like that, because she doesn't have a lot of range, and that's her new tick, I guess.
Yeah.
That is when Megan shows up in her matching pastel separates to say she's ready to take that job, but the offer is no longer available because Lexi hired an idiot while Megan was out of town for literally two nights. In fact, Lexi marches over to her and clip 6.
You're fired, and don't ask me for a recommendation because you don't know squat about advertising.
Neither do you.
Right.
You also don't know anything about acting.
No.
Classics major, McGee. Like, oh, God.
Or management. Like, this is quite a display to put on for the person that you're hoping to replace her, but that's what occurs. Clip 7.
Yeah.
You're getting in on the ground floor.
For the record, I don't know squat about advertising.
Well, like my good-for-nothing father used to say, honey, why sweat the small stuff? What you don't know, you can learn. And so can I. Someday soon, I'm going to have my own big, bad advertising agency with my name on the door, just like you know who.
What is happening now? I thought that was what you were doing.
I thought that was already done. Isn't that the first thing? Isn't this Melrose's first act for any business? Get the name on the door and worry about the rest of it later.
Yes. So dumb.
Also, how and where is the money?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have questions if I cared, but the show, like, I just don't care what Lexi does. And whenever she's, like, scheming and clicking her little talons together, it's like, I guess I, like, again,
Yeah, exactly.
Sigh.
Over to the practice where Peter is waiting tensely to answer his phone, and we see that Lexi is still prank calling him and quite successfully driving him insane. And that night, another not jazz band is playing at what may no longer be the jazz club. Megan comes looking for Kyle in his office, but Ryan is there instead and introduces himself. When Megan says she'll call Kyle at home, Ryan offers to help, but she's there to say she's resigning and she can't give Kyle 2 weeks' notice. And Ryan flirts that if he were Kyle, he wouldn't be able to let her go. And she's not unreceptive, but when she tries to leave and he asks her for dinner, she says she doesn't dine with younger brothers of ex-employers. Banter?
Who cares?
Yeah. Basically, over to Amanda's place where Kyle is blowing out tapers at his fancy dinner table as Amanda gets home late after dealing with a new client. And Kyle grunts that at least it wasn't Peter for once, but now he has to go back to work. And Amanda thought he took the night off for them to have a date, and he did. He just spent most of it alone. And she snits that she's hustling to make back all the money they lost, and he's holding it against her. But he says that's just her excuse not to talk about whatever's going on. And she's like, what are you even talking about? And he's like, bye. And then we're at Dr. Visconti's place. He is at home wholesomely watching a cooking show when Peter storms in and assaults his solitude with an emergency. Someone keeps calling and hanging up on him. Peter thinks they know. Dr. V suggests Peter's projecting his own guilt, but Peter says it's fear, not guilt. Dr. V asks who even could be calling. And Peter says it must be the kidnappers or the guy who hired them, because Dr. V is the only other person he told. And Dr. V is like, no, you told Lexi, and I actually can't believe you did. So Peter makes him repeat the whole story from the last episode, including the part where Dr. V was treating her before everything got too horny. And as he's talking, both he and Dr. V realize how Lexi tricked Dr. V into telling her. Clip 8.
Peter, we've been had, Doc. By the biggest bitch of them all.
No. If you're measuring by most boring, yeah, really.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The next day at the agency, which is established with a shot of some man, not Spats, outside. What the fuck? Julie brings Amanda her plane ticket to San Francisco. Amanda makes it clear that Julie won't be able to reach her while she's gone, even though she famously has a cell phone, and that no one can know about this trip. No one! At the practice. Peter gets another call. But this time, Lexi actually talks. And once she has perfunctorily asked about his health post-bullet wound, she changes the subject to the strain he put himself through running around after Amanda in the woods when she was kidnapped. And can they meet tonight? He tries to put her off, but not for long. And whatever she wants to discuss is too sensitive for a phone call. So, of course, the perfect place to meet is Kyle's ?? Club at 10 p.m. Maybe they can get a table on the stage with the live band that will be performing at that time of the night at that location. But speaking of, we are then made to endure some of 5 easy pieces. The front man is in small glasses with purplish tinted lenses. So they're that kind of a band.
Uh-huh.
Peter waits irritably until clip 9.
You're late.
Oh, well, I'd apologize, only it was intentional.
Reluctantly, yeah, not bad. They chit-chat at cross purposes about living alone versus living with the wrong person until Peter directly confronts her about the prank calls. Well, she just didn't know what to do after she found out his terrible secret. Clip 10.
So obviously you want something. What is it?
Bingo. I want you. I just can't decide whether you'd look better behind bars or in my bed.
Duh. So do I have a choice here?
Sorry. Criminals don't have choices.
Okay.
She's boring, and I guess they can't really sort of reimagine her as more like a Megan kind of boring, because we already have a Megan kind of boring, but it's like, this is such a misread of how Jamie Lunar is and is received, that she's trying to, you know, be the villain, and it's like, you can't, like, nobody cares. She's just annoying.
Right.
She's not, like, hateful, so, but I guess we're stuck with it.
Also, like, this is the second time she's like, I'm going to use what I know against you to make you fuck me, unwilling partner. Like, this is the same thing she was doing with Goob.
One of the problems with this character slash actor is not that she's not attractive.
Right.
So why don't you just find someone else in the giant international city in which you live who wants to fuck you? That's A. And B, you obviously can decide where he'd look better. He would look better in your bed.
Mm-hmm.
If you go with behind bars, I'm going to have to step in. That's all I'm saying.
Downstairs at Kyle's. Ryan is at dinner with Kyle in his Dan Flashes shirt when Megan comes in and Ryan gets all Twitter-pated before asking what her situation is. She's already rejected Ryan, but Kyle could ask her out for him, which, bro, you're in your late 20s at least. Please grow up. But Kyle decides to indulge him and goes over, graciously congratulating Megan on her new fake job before telling her to have her dinner to stay with Ryan, who says he knew she would eventually come to her senses and have dinner with him, and she looks exhausted by him immediately and can relate. And when we return to them, even Ryan tells Megan she looks like she wants him to drop dead, but it can't be him because women usually find him amusing. Megan guesses they also find him arrogant. He wants to know why she's so down on men, and it's because of guys like Ryan. She used to use guys as crutches instead of walking on her own. But that was last week, she does not add. And when the server delivers her plate, she asks for it to go after all. And back home, Kyle's sitting in the dark watching football highlights on Fox, I presume, when Amanda gets home. She starts lying about running from meeting to meeting, but he knows she was in San Francisco. Jane told him when he came to take her to lunch, which, like, Jane, just really going from strength to strength in this job, almost losing the big client she brought in and putting all of Amanda's shit on blast. But when Kyle asks, Amanda says San Francisco went pretty much the way she had hoped, and Kyle scoffs and turns off the TV and goes to the bedroom. And clip 11.
I'm not stupid, Amanda, and I am not making this up. You're hiding something from me. And if there's one thing I learned from my marriage with Taylor, it's that a relationship based on secrets never works.
Forgive me, but I don't think there's a point of comparison.
What were you doing in San Francisco?
I was taking care of business. Any more questions? You haven't asked me about the missing journal page all day.
I'm gonna go to bed.
Am I invited?
It's your call.
You're both just, oh my God.
Yeah.
I guess there's no basis for, you know, how you would act after the events that they've gone through, but they barely seem to like each other. They just have no chemistry.
Yeah. This is like a Kelly Dillon situation almost, except they at least, like, they had chemistry. They just, like, hated each other. And when they weren't fucking or eating strawberries before fucking, it was like, wow, like, just keep it to strawberries and fucking, because you despise each other and you're neither of you is exactly wrong. But these two, it's just like, oh, Jack Wagner is right there.
He's right there.
Just help us.
Yeah.
Help us. Yeah.
The next day, Amanda shows up at Ryan's place first thing in the morning to impose a new client folder on him while he whines about wanting to put some clothes on, like you were presumably sleeping in the room where you keep all your shirts. No one told you to answer the door with your tits out. But anyway, Ryan immediately shows why his business know-how is so valuable. Clip 12.
Skylar Soap. I know they're traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, damn.
Oh, well, then.
Like the Wall Street Journal standing right here in front of me. Out of the blue, Skylar Soap is shopping for a new ad agency, and Amanda wants Ryan to try to land it with his no experience in the field at all because she thinks the CEO will be impressed by his MBA, which tells you, when we meet him, how little research she has done about this client. So Ryan's going to Arizona as soon as he's read the file, and he better not let her down. And in the very next scene, we're on a deserted highway somewhere as Megan pulls over with a flat and is soon joined by Ryan, who I guess is sticking around in LA for real because he's also driving a convertible and that's the law.
Okay, first of all, how does she have a BMW? Okay, that's question number one.
Yeah.
Question number two, I don't care what you're driving, don't drive in heels.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a TV show, but I don't know. It's a pair of cute little pastel Keds, something, or maybe a beige pair to go with your personality slash the storyline.
Megan accuses Ryan of stalking her, but they're just both going to pitch Skylar Soap, and he offers to help fix her flat, which she declines, so he says the desert is no place for a woman. Then tries to scare her about Arizona's many poisonous snakes, and unfortunately it works. Like, this guy, he has very long eyelashes, but he sucks. And if they're trying to make this a moonlighting situation where, like, we really want them to get together, stop making him so hateful and sexist. Like, he's just so boringly piggish. I don't see it. I don't even like her.
He's lame. She could do better. And she is beige, as we've noted.
Exactly. Unfortunately, her spare is also flat, and with no other option, she accepts a ride to Jerome, the town where Skylar Soap is. So they arrive together at the empty office, which looks like it should be issuing land claims during the gold rush, but it's not entirely abandoned. Clip 13.
You heard me. I'm committing $20 million to advertising in the next fiscal year. You want to crack at it? You better get your people down here.
Hi.
Oh, I can't meet with anyone today.
Oh, but I have an appointment. I'm Megan Lewis with Sterling Conway Enterprises. And Ryan McBride.
Amanda Woodward Advertising, sir.
We came all the way from L.A.
Did you fly or drive?
Drive, actually. Well, at least I did.
Yeah, I like to drive, but I don't get behind the wheel much anymore. I want to hear your ideas, but I'm late for lunch. And if I miss my lunch, I don't get a chance to take my afternoon walk. I really like my walk. How does tomorrow sound? 7 a.m.?
7 would be fine.
Yeah, that's great. That would be great.
It would not be great. 7 a.m.? I know you're an old man, but Jesus, that's so rude.
Yeah, also, if they had an appointment, keep the fucking appointment. Otherwise, leave, Megan, you doormat.
Yeah, well, we're about to find out what his deal is. But anyway, back in L.A., Peter finds Amanda at the Question Mark Club. Clip 14.
Thought the band was supposed to be playing, not fighting.
Oh, it's rock and roll for you.
Well, it's official. And now it's the Rock and Roll Club.
The Rock Club.
I don't know why it was ever the jazz club. I understand the switch to, like, showcase the contemporary artists of today the way they did at the Peach Pit After Dark. But this having to be a pivot is the weird part, I guess. I mean, maybe that was why it was a jazz club first, so it wouldn't seem like they were biting the other show's storylines. But, like, don't fight the culture. No one wants a jazz club.
Yeah, seriously. No one wants this either, honestly, but here we all are, so.
Peter wanted to talk to Amanda and Kyle, but since Kyle's trying to smooth things over with the band, Amanda offers to talk to Peter alone in Kyle's office, and Kyle, of course, watches suspiciously as they go around the corner together. Peter was thinking of sliding into a confession, but here's her ransom money back. Flip 15.
Well, I called in a favor from an ex-patient that,
The guy you talked to Matt about?
Yeah, Mr. Beck. You met him in my office, actually, and I had him check up on the kidnappers and the ransom.
Uh-huh.
And he got it for you, just like that.
Well, he's a very powerful man.
Peter.
Hey, you know, I can't stand to see you unhappy.
I read Matt's journal from cover to cover, and you talked about this Mr. Beck more than once.
Well, Matt and I spent a lot of long hours in the ER together.
I've known men like Beck. In fact, I've lived with one.
Well, I told you it was a favor. Beck owed me for saving his life.
Good. Because I don't want you or Kyle or anyone for that matter to sacrifice themselves for me. Never again. Oh.
What's going on?
Well, your shirt has its own congressman, and Peter fell asleep in the tanning bed. Oh, you mean besides that?
Nothing. Yeah. I love the idea of, like, all of these off-screen conversations that happened in the long hours in the ER, which, like, A, why was Matt there? He was, oh, I guess he was a doctor at the end. I forgot that part.
But, yeah.
But B, if they're long hours in the ER, like, aren't you dealing with patients? That's the whole point of an ER. Like, you're not just sitting around shooting the shit. That's so dumb.
Just waiting for a helicopter to fall on one of us, and right. It's kind of slow.
Yeah. So Kyle puts on his iciest voice to ask how this money has come back to them, but Peter says it's a long story, and Kyle's like, I bet, and all of us are like, ooh. Over to a motel in Arizona, Ryan has snacks and goes looking for Megan in her room, where the door is open and papers are spread out all over the bed. So, of course, he is inspecting one when she returns for her car and accuses of him of looking at her ideas, which last she told him she didn't have any ideas. And I would like to just interrupt and say, obviously, neither of you has any ideas. Like, what are you even fighting about? These might as well be blank pieces of paper. So Ryan says Megan's just the only person in town he can hang out with. She tersely says she thanked him for the ride and she doesn't owe him anything else. And he's basically like, no one said anything about fucking, psycho. I'm paraphrasing, but he does leave. And at her place, Amanda tells Kyle she doesn't want him interrogating Peter about the money. And the 5,000th fight about the ripped out diary page ensues. Except this one ends with Amanda taking the journal out to the kitchen so Kyle can watch while she sets it on fire. But when he goes to take a shower, which, by the way, there's so much people exiting conversations to shower this season, like at night, too, often. It's weird.
Yeah, agree.
She takes the ripped out page from its hiding place and she lights that one on fire, too. And I guess Matt knew this was some hot tea because there's nothing written on the back of the page, as you can see in the visual aids. And then we cut to the page being consumed with flame so we can see A, the word prison in all caps and underlined and with an exclamation mark after it, and B, see the very feminine handwriting they're trying to pass off as Matt's. I'm not trying to be heteronormative, except in this respect. Men's handwriting is not the same as women's. It's just not.
No.
The next morning, the CEO is an hour late for Ryan and Megan's meetings, and somehow they don't notice a guy climbing up onto the roof until he's done hanging the coming soon St. George Ventures banner because, whoops, Skylar Soaps has been acquired by a conglomerate and no one has the heart to tell the old guy. And this is the best the writers could come up with to conclude this contrivance. Like, it's very strange. But it explains why the office was empty the day before, I guess, and why this guy is less worried about his meetings on the books than his naps. But Ryan offers to drive Megan to Phoenix, pick up her car, and once he promises not to try to talk to her on the drive, she agrees. And when we see them next, it's nighttime, and Ryan's running out of gas. Gets out of the car to pee, and when he's just about to, she screams, snake, and he leaps onto the hood of the car. But that was just a little humor, or as close as possible for someone as fucking dull as she is. At the marina, Lexi has lit a million candles for a visit from Peter and his less good jeans. Not the ones from the not finale. These are other ones that are more frumpy.
Yeah. These are, went from 501s to 550s, and no, sir, I don't like it.
Mm-mm. She tries to flirt, but he is not receptive, so she stops talking and drops her dress. She wants him to make love to her the way he wants to make love to Amanda, but can't. And if he doesn't, she will have to tell Amanda what she knows, which would be a fate worse than prison. And again, as I said, much as Coop did, Peter wonders why she wants this when she knows he doesn't love her and never will. But Lexi says she can love enough for both of them. She kisses him and he endures it, but he's not going to do this. She tries again to kiss him. He shoves her away this time, daring her to tell Amanda. And off she goes to the rock and roll club to talk to her right now. As soon as Lexi's gone, Peter grabs the phone and calls the club, asking for Amanda. It's an emergency. And Kyle, who is picked up, looks over his shoulder at Amanda, beaming back at him from the end of the bar. So I guess they made up since the last time we saw them fighting.
Must have been that shower.
I guess. Kyle lies to Peter that he doesn't know where she is, and he hangs up, and Peter runs. And in Arizona, Ryan and Megan look at the stars and joke about snakes, and it's going well, so he has to ruin it. Clip 16.
Megan, you're so beautiful.
I'm more than that.
I know you are.
No, you don't know. You look at a sky full of stars, you look at me, and you think, what the heck? Go for it, right?
I was just gonna kiss you.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be kissed. Maybe I don't want your hands all over me. Maybe I don't want to get to know you better. I'm sorry, you just don't understand. I just can't get involved with anyone right now.
No one cares! Don't get involved with anyone. Leave the show. Why are you even still here, in fact, is what I am wondering. No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah. Why couldn't you have gone with Coop? Why?
Yeah. Ugh. And then Lexi is stomping up to Amanda at the rock and roll club, just steps ahead of Peter, who can only clench his jaw and watch it happen. And that's where we leave things for now. Let us close up by naming our episode MVP. The soap CEO who's having lunches and naps.
That's what I was going to say. So I'm going to go with the American Shower Council, which is really getting its money's worth.
Least valuable player. I mean, the woman that Lexi fired is definitely better off, but getting fired by Lexi has got to hurt. Because she's so useless.
Yeah. Lexi, useless.
Fair enough.
Next time on Again With This, labor. We're unlocking two Again With This episodes that celebrate, quote unquote, Starverse actors' other characters while they're at work. Grant Chow on a cop show and Dina Meyer on Friends. After that, it's back to Michael testing Jane, and Peter and Kyle measuring each other's dicks, and Lexi and Megan are also here. Great. Speaking of great, for real, if you don't want to wait until we drop the paywall drawbridge with the occasional holiday special, join our Patreon and get those bonus episodes the day they drop. And if you join at the $5 level and up, you can listen to us talk about Tori and Jenny's podcast, 90210OMG. Provided Tori is well enough to continue, we wish her the best, and we wish that you would not listen to these numbskulls yourselves. Throw some money at that problem and let us do it at againwiththispodcast.com/club. The podcast is also on Blue Sky at Again With This. I'm Truthful Lip Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is traded on the New York Stock Exchange, symbol Tar Ariano, and she is on Blue Sky at Tar Ariano. We've been produced, folks, by the biggest bitch of them all, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
What a bitch.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.